All right, it's Josh Culler here, host of the REI Marketing Weekly, and man, am I excited to announce to you guys a brand new book that is actually coming out very soon. It is available for pre-order right now. It's called the REI Marketing Book. It is literally just a collaboration full of nuggets from 50 of the top real estate investors in the country. It is 100% geared towards helping you with your marketing and your real estate investing business. And how do you get a hold of it? Well, you can simply go to reimarketingbook.com to get a hold of that. Right now, it is available for pre-order and should be published within the next couple of months. So make sure you go grab your copy. We've spent a lot of man hours putting this book together for you guys that is just jam-packed full of nuggets and bits of information about how these guys run their marketing in the real estate investing business. So make sure not to miss out on that. Now let's go ahead and jump into the REI Marketing Weekly for the Who's Crushing It segment. Make sure to take notes and let's make it happen. Welcome back to the REI Marketing Weekly. It's your host, Josh Culler with Culler Media and REI.video. And today I have a special guest on the show way out in near Salt Lake City, Utah, just south of it, right? And so we got Chris Miles on the show today. Chris and I are a part of an absolutely amazing mastermind called The Collective Genius. I feel like I've said this in the last like 5 or 6 interviews, Chris, because I've had just so many rock stars from CG that have been on the show. Quite a few of them. Just had Corey Boatwright on the show, Eric Brewer, and several other guys. And so it's been good, but CG is an absolutely incredible place. So we've kind of like chat here and there and passing and that kind of thing, but I've never really got to sit down and have a really good, solid conversation with you. So that's what we're going to do today. Chris, what's going on, man? Thanks for being on the show.
Hey man, it's such an honor to be here, Josh. I really appreciate it.
Very cool. So what we're going to do here is we're going to be talking about how to, essentially, this might be the title, Chris, is how to go from working 60 hours a week to 20 on just analyzing your marketing, right? Like I feel like here's a really good example for you. So Andrew Newland, he's a part of CG as well. And he went through like a massive thing. And we talked about this. I had him on the podcast and we talked about, this whole scenario as well. He had something going on where he was ramping up so much marketing. He opened like 15 different marketing channels to bring leads in and then realized that was spending him broke because he didn't have the back end sales team to actually close deals and make the money, right? So he was just shelling out all kinds of money. The numbers they were looking at were leads coming in the door, but they weren't looking at anything else. And so that almost made him go broke and it got him pretty damn close to it. And so that's, marketing can really dictate how much time you spend in the business working on it, but then also how efficient your business can run. So I think this is something, Chris, that a lot of people don't think about. They think marketing is just to bring leads in so we can make money. Well, it's so much more than that. And a lot of it is based off you analyzing what works, what doesn't, making decisions from there. So Chris, if you could do me a favor before we hop in, I would like for you to introduce yourself. So who you are, what you do, a little bit about the background of who you are today, and then we'll go ahead and jump on into the topic today.
Yeah, just a little about me. Obviously, you mentioned I'm owner of the company Money Ripples. I'm also a podcast host of the Chris Miles Money Show that I do, and definitely invite people to check that out too. Basically what I do is I do just two things. I'm kind of semi-retired, actually. I've become financially independent twice. I got out of the rat race twice, right? The reason it was twice is because I screwed up the first time, right before the last recession. And ended up kind of gambling. I was in my late 20s, so I thought I could, rule the world and that every decision I made was perfect. And that pride was my downfall a little bit, especially after launching a new business and, gambling, trying to bank on appreciation with real estate. That was not a good strategy during the last recession. So I had to dig back out of that hole. It was about $1 million debt hole I had to dig out of. Eventually paid everything off and was able to get out of the rat race again by the end of 2016, where I could work because I want to, not because I have to. And that's essentially what I teach people to do in Money Ripples, right? Like I work as an anti-financial advisor. So where everybody's telling you to buy crappy mutual funds and 401ks and IRAs, I'm completely against that. I'm all about people, creating passive income through real estate investing or other alternative investments that allow them to again, work because they want to, not because they have to. And then I even do stuff with designing infinite banking policies, strategy I refer to as max ROI, infinite banking, where it gets the highest return possible. So those are really the two active streams I do, but I'm really kind of part-time in this business now, so that's what I mean by semi-retired. But that's basically where I am today. It's been a fun, hard road over the last, give or take about almost 20 years I've been in as a business owner.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm glad you shared all that too. So I'm just looking right here. I was looking up to the side, taking a look at, you know, some of the things that Chris has out here. Money Ripples is definitely something you guys should check out. So anything we talk about and anything that Chris mentions in the show, we'll have linked down in the description below. If you're listening on the podcast, it'll be in the show notes as well. So you can go to reimarketingweekly.com for that. But guys, make sure you go check this out, especially if you're in a place today where I know I talked to you about this before we jumped on, Chris. A lot of the people that are listening right now, you're wholesalers. You're in no way, shape, or form in the passive investing side of the business. And to be truthful with you, a lot of people say wholesaling is real estate investing, but it's really not, because
it's a real estate business.
So yeah. If you're that person where you're like, I really like to get out of this at some point, well, you got to make sure you check out what Chris has going on, especially the podcast, and then, you know, Money Ripples, moneyripples.com. And again, that'll all be linked down in the description below. So appreciate you talking about that. That's a really good segue into what we're going to talk about today, is analyzing the marketing that you have out. And guys, listen, in today's day and age, and Chris, you know this, there's so many things that you could be doing, especially in CG. I mean, people will bring a new marketing method of getting leads in every single time we go to a meeting. And it's not just one person, it's everybody, right? So there's a lot of different things you can do inside of marketing, but that doesn't mean that you should be doing everything. So with this conversation, talking about figuring out what works best for you, going hard at that, putting more fuel on the fire, there's an equation that has to happen. You have to analyze specific things inside the marketing. So talk to us a little bit about this. I'll jump in and ask questions where needed. You know the conversation that we're about to have. And so how do you analyze what are you analyzing, first of all, inside the marketing, and how do you make decisions based off those analysis?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you, I've spent tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars just learning about marketing, right? And that sort of thing. And you can get information overload to the point where you end up throwing spaghetti on the wall and hoping something sticks. It really doesn't. And it kind of slapped me in the face about 2015, right? Kind of like, you know, I was talking with my friend Corey Boatwright, you know, his mutual friend of ours too, right? You know, he went through this massive, you know, life circumstance. Well, for me, 2015 was the same. I actually went through a divorce. You know, I have, you know, six kids that we had with that previous marriage and stuff. Now I have a blended family of eight kids. So that's anything fun. But during 2015, I was kind of questioning if I even wanted to be in business, you know, because, you know, it was like, I almost wanted to quit on life, you know, during that period of time. And, you know, the thing that was happening is I was emotionally shutting down. So like time-wise, I was up to that point, I was working like 50, 60 hours a week in my business, right? Hustling, trying to make it happen, right? You know, all that kind of stuff. And as I got to that point where now I'm lonely, you know, I'm barely able to emotionally manage the clients I had, you know, I realized I wasn't doing much. But the other epiphany I realized too is I still had a business. It didn't fall apart. I mean, the revenue was not as high, right? But I realized that even at that point, I'm like, I still have a business. Nothing's failed. I was of the mindset that I had to keep hustling. You know, I even felt guilty if I didn't work overtime hours sometimes, because I was like, if I'm not doing everything possible to provide for my family, it's not worth it. And so I had this epiphany, this major perspective shift, right? And it coincided with a book that I read that I'd recommend people get as well. There's a guy by the name of Mike Michalowicz. He's most famous for the book Profit First, right? He also wrote a book called The Pumpkin Plan. And in that book, he talks about, you know, really like those prize-winning pumpkins, right? Like they get humongous, the ones you hear about in the news, right? Well, a lot of those guys buy seeds from like Nova Scotia. They take those seeds, they plant them, and then some of those seeds could cost like $100,000, you know, in hopes they might be able to create this dumb prize-winning pumpkin. And then as these pumpkins grow on the vine, they start chopping off the smallest ones until it's just one big one that's the whole vine's feeding into, right? And when I started to apply that to my business, I said, well, what's really the most effective? You know, take the Pareto principle, the whole 80-20 principle, right? I took it a step further. I said, what's the, you know, not just the top 20% that provides 80% of my revenue, but what's the top 20% of the top 20%? Or essentially, what's the 4% that generates 96% of my revenue?
Yeah.
I analyzed everything in my calendar, right? I looked at everything there, all the marketing activities. I was doing live speaking. I was going to networking events like crazy, especially locally. I was doing my podcast show. I was interviewing on other podcasts. In fact, I think that year I spoke or presented even on webinars and things of that nature. I think it was 184 times.
Wow.
Over the course of 2015, right? I even did six live multi-day events, you know, during that period of time. So I was burning out. The funny thing is my business coach was also telling me to do 12 events a year. So she was saying, you know, I almost burned out at six. She's like, you got to do 12. You got to get that, you know, got to keep going. You got to keep turning this stuff out. And so here's the biggest advice I can give you about marketing that I've learned over the last 20 years is do it more intuitively, like follow your gut, right? Really listen to your gut, because my gut was saying, screw that. Like, I'm not doing 12 events, you know, or why am I going to all these networking events? I was spending about 5 to 10 hours a week just networking in local groups, right? You know, it'd be like going to Rio events and things like that. Like, I'm going to hit everyone in the couple counties away or whatever.
You were touring.
You know, it really wasn't. And so I actually stopped going to networking events. I started going more online, which was great, because when COVID happened, I was already online by that point. So nothing changed. Mm-hmm. In fact, my business doubled during COVID, right? But I stopped going to live events. I stopped speaking as much. I started saying no to speaking engagements. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening is, as I started doing that, my hours went from like 50, 60 hours a week down to like 10 to 20. And the cool thing is my revenue doubled. But most importantly, it wasn't just about the revenue that doubled. It was the profit, because the profit didn't just double. The profit did like 5X, right? Because now I wasn't spending as much money doing all this other crap. And so I just honed in. And there's really three things of marketing I found out is there's three C's, right? There's charismatic, there's conversational, and then there's content. And what we'll find is that in each of us are different, right? This is why you can't just listen to every marketing expert out there. Everybody has their own different, you know, strengths and things like that. And so charismatic, for example, like people, like they see you walk into a room, like they're just drawn to you. You're probably more charismatic. You should be on video, right? You should be doing live speaking and things of that nature, but not worry so much about writing a book. You know, like that's not as important for you. For you, it's people seeing your face, you know?
Yeah.
You know it, because there's magnetic marketing, especially when you see these, you know, beautiful women that do it. It's like, okay, obviously, like you have this either great personality or you're good looking or whatever it is. People like to see you. It's not hard to figure out you're charismatic. You got to take advantage of that, right? The second one's conversational. This is one I more fell into, because I wasn't as charismatic, right? But, you know, I didn't have the, you know, some people say I have the radio face, you know, but, you know, but
hey, that's,
you know,
not fair.
Like people were like the people that actually talk to our salespeople are like, you honestly, I don't even know what Chris does. I just trust his voice. Mm-hmm. And it dawned on me. I was like, what the heck? Why am I worrying about doing all these videos and webinars when I could just do an audio recording and pump it out and get it out there? You know, so I started doing that more. And my numbers boomed on my sales side. So conversational is more of that. People are like, I just hear their voice and I trust it. So if you hear that feedback, you're more of a conversational. The third one's content. So content's like people that obviously are good at writing sometimes, right? Or you don't have to be good at writing, but people are just drawn in with the stories or whatever you happen to present. My wife is very good at the content. She's also very charismatic too, right? But people are just drawn in when they see like those social media posts that you do, or if you write a book. You know, I'm not that way at all, right? But, you know, when people do that kind of stuff, in fact, sometimes people are horrible speakers and they're great writing a book. They should never get on stage. They should just write the books, let people imagine that you're awesome,
you know,
even on stage. And that's the kind of thing that's worked really well. And so when you find that, even if you're a wholesaler, right? Sometimes it could just be you writing that post on social media that could make all the difference, because it draws people in, because it gets people to know, like, and trust you. That's really what it comes down to. And if they say, wow, like that's the person I want to get to know, even if there's other people, you know, trying to buy, you know, trying to, you know, fight for my business or fight for my property, that's the person I want to do business with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to go back. I mean, that was a good way to end what you were talking about. I want to go back to a couple of key points there. So first of all, Pumpkin Plan was a revolutionary book for me to read. I had read Profit First, you know, and that was a really popular book going back 2 years ago when it first came out. And almost everybody I know that's in business and doing it successfully from a finance standpoint has Profit First implemented. And so that was great. And then I went through, I don't know if you remember this, Chris, I went through some massive profit issues in late December, and I put a really vulnerable post out on the Collective Genius Facebook group,
right?
And got some incredible feedback. And somebody told me, like, they messaged me offline, like, you have to read Pumpkin Plan and implement everything about that. And what I realized when I was reading that book is it's meant to be a more operational type book, almost like Attraction or something like that. Maybe not as strategic, but something like that. Mm-hmm. I realized that it was a lot more of a marketing book for me than anything. Yeah. Because one of the biggest things that I was taken away with was you know, is basically talking about building so much credibility and authority in what you do that you get to decide if you work with somebody. Like when you hop on a sales call with them, it's like, no, this sales call is for me to decide if I want to work with you type of thing.
I'm qualifying and you, not the other way around.
Exactly. And that was incredible. So putting myself in that position by the marketing that I did was super important. I believe I have gotten to that point now where I've been able to do that. And so like, first of all, that's what I wanted to put out there was for that. Secondly, was you mentioned about the 80-20 rule. And then you went into like, no, you need to know the 20% of that 20%.
Yeah.
And if you could get to where you're in that 4% range where you are literally just executing on that 4%, man, that is nirvana right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is like the place that you want to be inside of marketing. So if you're listening right now, you're a wholesaler, you're somebody that's doing acquisitions marketing, or you're doing retail marketing, maybe you flip and you do retail and you're bringing in those kind of leads. Listen, like figure out what generates 96% of your revenue from a marketing standpoint and just go balls to the walls on that. And that's like, that right there is the biggest bomb that I've heard in the last like 8 minutes that you've been talking. And I think that's something, because that's an even bigger challenge, Chris.
It is.
A lot of people are complaining right now because they're saying everybody's doing text blasting or everybody's doing direct mail. Everybody's doing SEO. Let's dial it back a little bit. If you have a business, you're bringing leads in some way, shape, or form from the marketing that you're doing. You need to figure out what that 4% is that's generating that massive 96% of your revenue and just go hard at that. That's the answer to what you're looking for, as opposed to just, like you said, like, I mean, it's either that and you like try to dig into the numbers and you do what sucks because you got to dig so deep to find those numbers. And nobody wants to do that, Chris. It's either doing that or you just keep pounding your head against the pavement and just opening up 10 more marketing channels and hustle and grind that out. And that's how you become successful. It's your choice. Essentially. That's the way I look at it, Chris.
I agree. Like, you know, it's the same thing, like with when I was looking at the numbers and everything, right? It's not just about the numbers, because it had to be the right people too. You know, like you said, you got to qualify the right people. So when I started doing, like when I started cutting out all these activities and then I was doing like my podcast and things like that, I started imaging the person that I liked, because up to that point, I was always like imaging the person that I didn't want to attract, which when you do that, when you speak, you attract that person you don't want, right? So a lot of
it's because you end up talking to them.
Yeah, exactly. You're talking to the person you don't want to attract. You know, it's just like dating, right? Like, you're like, why do I keep finding the wrong guy or the wrong girl? Well, because you keep looking for the wrong guy.
You're focused on that.
I don't want that person. Well, the more you focus on not wanting them, you attract them, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be focused on who you want. And so even that 96%, right? That 4%, I was looking at who is my favorite client that I had that time, like favorite one or two clients. And I just hyper-focused. I would talk to them when I did interviews. I would, you know, even when you're doing your marketing, right? Your same thing, your messaging has got to be directed to the person that you want, right? And it should be the people that you want to attract, you know, the people that you got to be inside their head. And that's the thing that I knew when I got it right, was people are like, it was like you were talking right to me. It's like you were describing exactly what my life was like, you know, because I get people who are like, yeah, like I've got assets, but I'm asset rich and cash poor. Like you just described it in words I didn't even describe for myself. Like you get to that dialed in, you're unstoppable. Like you just at a place where you can serve so many people in such a great way, especially if you do a good job. If you do a crappy job, then I hope you do crappy marketing too. But you know, if you're a good person, you're doing good work and you're helping people out, which is what you're trying to do anyways, while making a profit, that's the way it should be.
Well, this is something that's important to understand as well, because I think that you were getting that response because, so you dug into, you know, what was working, what that 4% was, and you went hard at that. But inside of that 4%, I think you were dominant because you were contextual and relevant with that person you're on the phone with. And this is the same, this is the same principle that wholesalers have to apply when you're talking to a motivated seller. You know, we're in a day and age now where a lot of times, you know, it's different for every seller, because one seller will say, price doesn't matter, I want to work with somebody I like. And then the next seller will just try to just keep getting a bidding war between other wholesalers. And they're just trying to get the biggest
dime.
The biggest deal. So now it's your job to convince them that, hey, just because you're trying to get the highest price point doesn't mean, you know, that you're going to be working with somebody that you like to work with. They're going to maybe even be, you know, a hassle to work with at some point. It's going to drag out over 7 months or whatever. Like it's your job to actually do your proper marketing that's going to be contextual and relevant to them to essentially convince them or persuade them to move forward with you. And I think that essentially, that's the underlying factor of what you approached there, which you were, as you were being able to make those sales really, really, you know, efficiently. First of all, you were in that 4%. So you're attracting that person that you wanted. And then you were contextual and relevant with them. And that's how you're able to close them so high. I mean, that's a really big principle a lot of people miss out on too.
It's what it comes down to. Like, I mean, we just sold our house. We're closing on it, you know, tomorrow, you know, and when we were looking for real estate agents, I mean, I have so many friends that are real estate agents, like anybody who wanted to sell our house for us. And so we had them like back-to-back interviews with agents, right? Including some of the most popular ones in the state of Utah. And what was interesting is the person we went with was the one that actually listened, where we felt like they understood what we wanted, you know, like,
yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like in marketing, like if you could speak in a way that people feel like this person gets me, mm-hmm. you know, it didn't matter. Like, and they weren't the ones promising the highest sales price either. The other ones were like, we got down to math. We can get you the highest price possible. We didn't care. We wanted somebody who was like, actually listened to what we wanted. And by the way, we still ended up getting a great price anyways, you know? So, that was the key, is that we wanted somebody who actually was understanding what we wanted. We didn't want a massive life disruption when we, you know, put the house for an open house and things like that. Yeah. We wanted very specific things. And there was only one agent that actually got that. All the rest of them were just like in their own heads, you know, and mm-hmm. we're just like, okay, I love you and you're amazing. You're a rock star, but you're not for us.
That's a really good point. All right. So we are going to have to, man, I wish we could go longer, but I told you we'd keep it short and sweet. So we'll have to have you back on to talk about more marketing stuff. Cause it sounds like you and I could go all day long about this. I want to allow you to give one more kind of final tip inside of, you know, all the experience that you've had over the last 20 years of being in business when it comes to marketing. It could be anything that has to do with the topics we've talked about today or any other topic inside of marketing. What's a really hot tip, something that you could just shoot off the hip and give for the audience here about marketing?
Yeah, I'll reiterate a point that I said in the beginning, but I just glossed over a little bit. And that's just, you know, follow your gut, right? Like whatever, you know, again, listen to the experts, gather info, but then listen to your gut. Even if it doesn't make logical sense, do it. Because from my experience, anytime I've ignored that, it bombs. Even if all the math and the statistics say it should work, then it won't. But when I follow my gut, and sometimes it might seem like a crazy idea or it just doesn't seem like it should work, it always works better. And so just when it comes down to it, don't just use data to determine what you do, but follow your instincts, follow your gut, and that's going to lead you the right way.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's internal numbers, but also like I use this as a really prime example, and there's some people that'll fight me on this, but you know, Clubhouse was a really big thing going back, you know, several months. And I remember like it blew up even in beta mode. Like I have an Android phone. I wasn't able to, like, I had to have my iPad in order to access it. And I was like, what the hell is everybody talking about? Why is this so big? And I know to you wholesalers right now, that may not be relevant because you're not an influencer, but it's still a really important principle to learn because Clubhouse was really hot. But the reason, So one of the biggest reasons why I kind of stayed off it was because it required one thing that I was not willing to give up, and it was my time. I was not willing to give up 3 to 6 hours a day to build a large Clubhouse following. I know people that did that and had zero life during that time period. There were a couple of close friends that I had that went hard at Clubhouse, and they accumulated 50 to 60,000 followers really quick right off the bat. And I had a couple of times where I was trying to schedule calls with them. And I even remember twice, there was one guy twice, I was on the Zoom feed and he's like, oh, I was on a Clubhouse. Sorry, I forgot. And it was just to a point where it was like, this made no sense. And then it finally validated for me. I was at an event over in Key West with Tim Mai. And he had a guy named Chris Krohn speak. And if you guys are into real estate, you probably know who he is.
Old friend
and
of
Chris
mine,
got up and he's super bold guy. And he's like, I hate Clubhouse because it requires my time. And if that's something that you're not willing to give up, then don't do it. Even if the numbers say, you know, you could accumulate a following massively, really, really quick, then it needs to align with what your goals are and what you're trying to accomplish with your life. right? And if it's at a point where you're like, you're willing to give that time up, you're willing to actually do what it takes to get that following and give your time. And maybe you can even get it down to where you're like, oh, I only spend 1 hour a week on Clubhouse or something like that. Then you can justify it. But you have to make sure it aligns with what you're trying to do. And that's what Chris is talking about here is, you know, and it's really important to understand that numbers aren't just the equation to getting to what you're wanting. You know, you got to go with your gut too. If your gut tells you don't go on Clubhouse because it's, you know, requiring my time, then don't do it. You don't have to feel bad about it. is that right to say, Chris?
Absolutely. Absolutely correct, man. Like if it doesn't feel right to you, even if it's might be the hottest thing out in the market today, just don't worry about it. Like just do your thing, you know, and just shine there and make it work.
Absolutely. Well, Chris, this has been an absolutely incredible time with you. I know we're a couple minutes over, so I apologize for that. Hopefully you don't have any calls right at 2:30. But I want to give you the opportunity for people that are listening right now. If they have some questions for you, they want to learn more about what you got going on. We've got, you know, your podcast and a couple other places to connect with you. And then also, you know, Money Ripples, I've got it pulled up right here, moneyripples.com. What are some of the best ways to get connected with you, figure out what you got going on and learn more from you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, you already mentioned the Chris Miles Money Show. There's moneyripples.com. You can always reach out. There's stuff there. And even on social media, like Facebook, for example, there's a Money Ripples page there too.
Awesome. Absolutely. And guys, we will have all that linked down in the description below. Chris, I appreciate you being on, man. Thank you so much for joining me today. And we look forward to having you back again soon.
I really appreciate it. Looking forward to it, Josh.
All right, guys, that is going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much for joining today. And if you haven't already, make sure you have gone to pick up the REI marketing book. REIMarketingBook.com is where you can go get that fully launched now. We are no longer in pre-order stage, which is absolutely awesome. Have had some absolutely incredible feedback on this. 37 of the top real estate investors in the world giving tactics, techniques, and strategies on the marketing that they do in their business. It's about 210 pages and it's only $8.97 for the order. You are dropping it into my marketing funnel and I'm going to remarket to you later. This is a marketing show. So we're willing to talk about that, guys. But you can go get it. It is still really, really good value. Very little selling inside of this. So you're going to get your money's worth out of it. So make sure you go pick it up, REIMarketingBook.com. Snap a picture and tag me on social media if you do grab one. That'd be awesome. All right. Thank you so much for listening today. And we will catch you guys on the next one. See you later.